With me, Senator Olson, Senator Thomas, we expect shortly Senator Egan, Senator McGuire, and Senator Ellis. We will continue the overview of the governor's FY13 capital budget, Senate Bill 160. We have three other departments that we plan on addressing today, this afternoon. The Department of Labor, Workforce Development, the Department of Health and Social Services, and the court system. With that, we have David Stone, Deputy Commissioner for Labor and Workforce Development. Welcome, Senate Finance. I believe we only have four requests here.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, my name is David Stone. I'm the Deputy Commissioner for the Department of Labor and Workforce Development. Beside me is Ms. Bryn Keith, who is our Director of Administrative Services. And we should have online Mr. Fred Esposito, who's the Director of AVTAC. We have four capital items for your review. And Mr. Chairman, because she's far more knowledgeable than I, if you're with your indulgence, I will let Ms. Keith explain them to you.
Thank you, Deputy Commissioner Stone. For the record, I'm Bryn Keith, Administrative Services Division Director for the Department of Labor and Workforce Development. And our first item for consideration is on page one, reference 48826, the heavy equipment shop, diesel shop, and pipe welding relocation project for AVTEC. It's phase one of three phases. The department's requesting $6 million in general funds to build a combination heavy equipment, diesel shop, and pipe welding facility at AVTEC and Seward. The request, the first of two, will be used for phase one of the project. An additional $6 million will be requested in fiscal year 14 for phases two and three. Phase one includes the construction of an 8,000-square-foot steel-fabricated heavy equipment shop, and the shop replaces an existing facility that's aging and houses AVTEC's current diesel heavy equipment technologies program. The current structure, built in the early 70s, has been deemed substandard and potentially dangerous in two separate engineering reviews.
Please proceed with your...
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Other items.
Our second item on page three, reference number 54490, Job Center Computer Replacement. The department's requesting $917,000 in general funds to replace an aging inventory of computer and peripherals in the department's job centers offices across the state, as well as the Employment and Training Services component operations offices. Phased in over 3 years, the request will replace 342 public access computers, 263 staff computers, including laptops, 19 servers, 51 printers. The computers will be replaced based on the age and the overall working condition of the machinery.
Okay. Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Our third item on page five is reference 51795, and this is our request for the Fairbanks Pipeline Training Center construction and equipment purchase of $1 million in general funds. The Fairbanks Pipeline Training Center is a public-private partnership located in Fairbanks that trains workers primarily for North Slope construction occupations. The $1 million request will be used in combination with other funds to construct and equip the center's central training facility. The project will move the facility closer to completion. We do anticipate $5 million in additional funding will be needed to complete the training facility, which would provide office space, classroom, and shop space. This does not include tables, chairs, equipment, et cetera.
Last item.
Our final item is on page seven, reference number 48821, and it's AVTEC deferred maintenance in $1 million. AVTEC owns 16 buildings in Seward with over 200,000 square feet of shops, classrooms, labs, et cetera. And many of the buildings were built in the 50s and the 60s. The $1 million being requested would cover basic deferred maintenance at the four at Seward campuses of AVTEC.
Any questions on the requests for this department? Senator Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm assuming since you answered all the questions and he acknowledged, Mr. Stone acknowledged that you knew more about it than he did, is that you're being paid more than he is. Is that right?
No comment.
All right. Well, then back to my original question anyhow. The Pipeline Training Center, it certainly is a great facility, and there's no doubt that it probably has about the best record of placing folks in the construction industry. And I'm curious about the money and the timing for the money, $1 million and $2 million and then $2 million going forward. Does this million finish some aspect of the facility, or is it just get something started? Because I'd be more inclined to put more money in it up front rather than unless you have a design plan that this flows forward in, because we certainly don't want partially complete facilities, those types of things. So.
Through the chair, Senator Thomas, this does begin this next phase on the central facility, and certainly the estimate is it will take an additional $5 million to complete this particular component in the Pipeline Training Center.
So will this,
Senator Thomas?
Will this, thank you, Mr. Chairman, will this then start something that will not be finished and usable at the point in time that the million is expended, or?
Senator Thomas, through the chair, partial answer to your question because I'm not entirely certain. It will be functional, but it will not be at its optimal level of completion with just this investment.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Any final comments? If not, that concludes the overview of the capital requests for the Department of Labor and Workforce Development. The next department will be Health and Social Services. Bill Steer. Welcome to Finance, and please go over your capital requests for the Finance Committee's review.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for this opportunity. For the record, my name is Bill Stewart, Commissioner of the Department of Health and Social Services. With me is Laura Baker, Deputy Director for Financial Management Services within the department. Like the handoff that was previously given, I'm going to hand off lead to this to Laura to take over, and I will step in from time to time. Hopefully I'm as knowledgeable, but she speaks better than I do. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Commissioner.
For the record, Laura Baker, Deputy Director, Finance Management Services, Department of Health and Social Services. Mr. Chairman, beginning on our page one of our packet, we have a request for $10 million. It's reference number 54191, the Bethel Youth Facility Expansion, phase one of two. The $10 million for phase one is going to allow us to do some pre-construction work to add four new detention beds for a total of 12. Upgrade treatment beds, add additional probation space, and expand medical space, et cetera. There was an assessment study performed on the juvenile justice four oldest facilities in 2007, and the Bethel Youth Facility is one of those that falls into the priority of doing some work on. In addition, there is some property adjacent to the Bethel Youth Facility that we'd be looking at obtaining to allow for expansion and security. Just as an FYI, the total estimated cost of the project over two phases is $19,025,400. Our next request is reference number 50814. This is a $4,707,000 federal receipt and general fund match request. $3.8 million of that is federal receipts. This is for the International Classification of Disease, version 10, phase 2, which I know sounds like a lot of acronyms, so I'm probably going to let the commissioner jump in a second. But this has to do with the what we call the ICD-10 and it coding that's needed to provide a standard coding convention across all medical reporting.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, the International Classification of Diseases is going through an upgrade. We've been operating under ICD-10 for probably close to 25 years now, or ICD-9, excuse me, and we're moving to ICD-10. What it means for the classification of diseases is that we're going from 13,000 classifications to 68,000 classifications. So instead of just having a plain old headache, you get a headache with about 6 to 8 to 10 different variables that result in a different classification. I've been in the healthcare field for more than a couple of years, and in 1996, we first began talking about ICD-10. So while it continues to move forward, I don't hold my breath anymore as to when it's going to come, but the feds have now put on a pretty big rush for it. We went through an upgrade of our system last year with HIPAA and 5010 upgrades, which is to increase security for classifications. This is the next step in improving our healthcare system and make it more versatile and available to our people and for better disease identification.
Next item.
The next item, reference number 42837, is under emergency medical services. This is matched dollars for the Code Blue project, a total of $450,000. This is an annually funded program that provides EMS equipment, ambulances, et cetera, for the agencies across the state. There are agencies in 7 regions, and at the bottom of page 8 and onto page 9, those are listed. There's also a ranking process for release of this funding. Our next project is a governor's amendment, number 33443. This is for our Alaska Land Mobile Radio Emergency Response Narrowband Compliance, a total of $297,500. This request involves the updating of some of the base station, handheld, and vehicle and probation radios. This impacts both public health and juvenile justice. On page 10-2, you will see a listing of the estimated dollar amount of $110,240 for the juvenile justice upgrades. These are for 4 base station radios in Bethel, Nome, Ketchikan, and Juneau, vehicle ratings radios in Bethel and Nome, and also vehicle ratings radios and facilities and probation for Kenai, Ketchikan, Juneau, and Mat-Su. Also replaces 10 handheld radios statewide, and then we have installation and administrative costs. Below that, we talk about the Division of Public Health and having to upgrade the 9 remaining VHF sites to narrowband capability. I know you heard from other agencies that this is an issue where the federal government requires to convert over, or we may not be able to communicate with our emergency responders. The public health request is $187,200. This covers 9 areas, and I believe, 3 of those are only accessible by helicopter, but we estimate an average of $20,000 per site for these upgrades. The next project is amendment, reference 52386. This project is called a State Improvements to Health Information Gateway. The request is for $3,641,400, and $3,277,000 of that is federal receipts. This project will allow us to develop a system to interface with our state healthcare data systems and programs. It'll encompass the post-implementation services required to perform the health information gateway, again, through our various databases. I'm going to let Commissioner Strewer talk a little more about this, because, again, he's got additional background that I don't have on this.
Commissioner?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, this is kind of the state's match to joining the health information exchange that is being developed through the Alaska eHealth Network and as organized under Senate Bill 133 from 2009. The state needs to connect our vaccination program, our lab results, and other areas of the department to the system. And this is the cost of those, the majority of which is funded by the federal government. But there are items such as training, upgrading of some of our data and software to be able to accommodate it.
Next item.
Next item is reference number 33672. This request is for $475,000 in general fund mental health for the mental health essential program equipment. This is a request that provides funding for equipment for mental health trust beneficiaries. This can include therapeutic equipment, computers, management information, et cetera, to try and help the needs of those agencies. The cap on the amount per agency is $25,000. Our next project is reference number 54274. This is Mental Health Aging and Disability Resource Center's pilot to improve screening and services. Total amount of $425,000 in general fund mental health funds. This funding will provide a three-year pilot project assessment for the ADRC centers to better guide individuals to the most appropriate care settings and increasing their independence on community service setting, community-based settings, and improving their health outcomes.
Chairman.
Senator Egan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a quick question. Since this is a pilot program, I'm assuming that you'll give a report at the end of this to the legislature or even an interim report.
Mr. Chairman, at the end of the three-year cycle, yes, you will get a report, as well as if we wish to continue the project beyond.
Another request. Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator Egan. Next item.
The next item is reference number 54250, $125,000 request for mental health assistive technology, and this is general fund mental health funds. This is to allow for funding for individual technology devices, such as computers and whatnot, to be able to obtain jobs. But additionally, if these folks need extra equipment to operate equipment by voice or eye motion, eye blinks, et cetera, this is an enhancement to the vocational rehabilitation program. The next item, reference number 33671, mental health home modification and upgrades to retain housing. This is a $1,050,000 request and combination of mental health trust authorized receipts of $300,000, with the remaining being a combination of general fund mental health and general funds. This capital project is an ongoing project that we receive funding for each year, and it provides funding for housing modifications for persons experiencing disabilities, allowing them to remain in their homes and potentially reducing the cost of supported transition homes. Approximately 125 families receive modifications to their homes each grant cycle. The grant funding amount is limited to up to $25,000 per home for those owned, and $10,000 for a rental. The next item is reference number 37934. It's a $4 million request for our Pioneer Homes deferred maintenance, renewal, repair, and equipment. This $4 million request will apply to four of the six Pioneer Homes. On page 21, you can see the allocation of this $4 million. This is a summary level. Alaska Veterans and Pioneers Home in Palmer would receive $24.8 million of this. Anchorage Pioneer Home for asbestos removal and some digital controls, other upgrades, just under $1.4 million. We also have a Juneau Pioneer Home at $2.2 million and Sitka Pioneer Home for an outbuilding improvements or repairs that need to be done at $375,000. Mr. Chairman, we do have the individual allocations for these four. Would you like to go through those, or would you like to go to our next appropriation?
If there's questions, if not, we'll go to the next appropriation. Seeing none, we'll go to the next appropriation.
On page 27, reference number 31862, this request is for deferred maintenance, renewal, repair, and equipment for the non-Pioneer homes. This request is $3,015,740,000. That includes a small amount of federal of about $15,000, and the rest is general fund match, general funds. This is also an annual appropriation, and turning to page 28 and 29, we can see the breakdown. This funding will cover deferred maintenance at Alaska Psychiatric Institute at $902,475,000, the Anchorage Public Health Lab for $132,322, DiNardo Center, which is a residential facility at $206,750 in Fairbanks. Dillingham Health Center, data and telephone consolidation. And then Farron Camp Center, direct digital control completion through kitchen renovation and window work, parking upgrades for $275,771,000. The Johnson Youth Center is slated for $415,402. Turning on page 29, we have the Juneau Public Health Center, receive $104,434. Kenai Peninsula Youth Facility, mechanical cooling, $165,400. Ketchikan Public Health Center, $37,297. The Matsu Youth Facility, $41,350. The Gloucester Youth Center, $703,120. And the Sitka Public Health Center for $16,500,000. And again, this is an appropriation, and the remaining pages go into each of the allocations if the committee so desires to walk through those. But I did just summarize them.
Next item.
Mr. Chairman, that actually completes our capital budget presentation.
Sure. Are there any questions? Senator Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Bethel facility, I see the listing of what's done there. Are there any vocational education or any kind of educational aspects associated with the facility?
For the Bethel Youth, just through the chair,
yes.
Senator Thomas. We'd have to get back to you on that. I'm not sure. I don't think there are, but we can follow up with the committee on that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Thomas. Further questions on the HESS capital requests? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, committee members.
That brings us to our last item today, the last department of the Alaska court system. I think we have Doug is with us here today to give the capital needs of the Alaska court system.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Doug Wolliver. I'm the Deputy Administrative Director for the Alaska court system. The court has three capital budget requests in addition to our deferred maintenance. I'll just go through those one at a time. Our first is $5.1 million is needed to continue the remodel of the Anchorage campus. This is reference number 43152. As you probably recall, the Alaska court system has been gradually remodeling the Boney Courthouse for a number of years. The Nesbitt Courthouse, which is our primary trial court facility in Anchorage, was full when it opened in 1996. Since that time, we've added, I think, five Superior Court judges, one District Court judge, and all of their accompanying staff and courtrooms. Correspondingly, at the same time, we've been remodeling the Boney Courthouse to eventually take over all of the District Court functions. So the District Court will be in the Boney building, and Superior Court will be in the Nesbitt. This $5.1 million request is sufficient to move us on to the next phase of that project. I should note, though, that when we submitted our budget request for this project of $11.3 million total to complete it, we based that estimate on a contracted cost estimator. Since the budget was submitted, we've had a significant increase once the subcontractor bids were received. Although it doesn't affect this year's appropriation, it will mean that next year our appropriation request will be larger than we had originally anticipated. Our next item are security upgrades. That's project reference number 47151. This is $1.7 million security upgrade, which we will use to upgrade the Palmer Courthouse. This past summer, the court brought up two court security experts from the National Center for State Courts, and along with Justice Stowers, members of the court administration, we toured five different court facilities. The courthouse with the most egregious security concerns was Palmer, and specifically the portions of the Palmer courthouse that deal with prisoner holding and prisoner transport. Current facilities are inadequate and unsafe for both prisoners and court service officers who guard and transport them, and this request will enable us to make the changes necessary to ensure that the transportation and holding of prisoners is safe in our facilities. Mr. Chairman, our next project is an electronic, which is reference number 52410. It's our third and final request. It's $1.785 million for the second phase of funding for our multi-year effort to implement an electronic filing and data management system, a record management system. This we estimate roughly to be about a six-year project and with a total cost of somewhere in the neighborhood of $6 million. This year's request, though, $1.785 million. Like courts around the country and other entities, we are moving to a system of electronic filings and electronic records management. It's central to our long-term planning. It will be a dramatic change for how both agencies and individuals deal with the court system, but it will be provides a great number of benefits on a whole number of levels, and it's one of our top priorities. In addition to those requests, Mr. Chairman, we would mention we have $2.5 million of deferred maintenance included in the governor's budget. The bulk of that money, $1.872, is going to be used to clean the HVAC ductwork that's in the Boney Courthouse and to upgrade or to replace outdated controls and perimeter heat in that courthouse. And I mention this particularly because this work can be done much more efficiently if it's in conjunction with the ongoing remodel of that same facility. It's less costly and less disruptive to court functions if we can do these things together. That's my presentation. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Are there any questions regarding the Alaska court system's capital requests? Seeing none, thank you for that presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
That concludes the meeting for today. Our next meeting will be a week from today, Monday, March the 12th at 9 a.m., to continue with the capital budget overviews. With that, we are adjourned.